What's up, everybody? My name is D-Wan. Before we get started, I just want y'all to know one thing, that I am a sparrow. And I have no idea what that means. That is something that Toby taught me several months back. And I had not been able to figure it out. And when I tell people that, well, when I told people that, the look of confusion on their face, I said, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. But I brought it back for tonight, just so you all know that I'm a sparrow. You are too. Ask Toby what that means if you want to know. Now, actually, I do have a question for everybody. That is the best sneeze I've been trying. I'm glad I'm here is that you? Am I pointing in the right direction? I meant to say that's the best sneeze I ever heard in my life. A little chipmunk or something. But my question to you all is, at any point in your lives, even up to now, have you ever, no matter what it is, just been sick and tired? By show of hands. Okay. And I got a ooh-wee. Now, by show of hands, how many of you in here are actually sick and tired of being sick and tired? Okay. By show of hands, how many of you get literally and physically nauseous just at the thought of being sick and tired, of being sick and tired, of being sick and tired? Okay, so we got a lot of folks that's just tired of being sick and tired. And I bought this to help me stay on track so I don't go wandering off into something else. That was my question. Now, there is one word for those of us in here that are just sick and tired, tired of being sick and tired, getting a headache every time we think of how sick and tired, of sick and tired, of sick and tired that we all are. One word in the English language, by definition, can completely revolutionize our lives. That one word is change. If we are sick and tired of being in the whole thing, the one word is change. And you know what the most beautiful thing about that word change is? It's such a simple word, but this just really indicates on how powerful God is. The greatest thing about that word change is God gave us all the ability to do it. Amen. We didn't have to go to school to learn. It's not just for the rich and famous. We all have the ability to change our minds. And the thing about that change is nobody in this world can change our minds but us. I can't change your mind. You all can't change minds. I can't change your actions. You all can't change minds. But we all have the ability to change ourselves. And the thing is, once we start working on ourselves, once we got to a point where we're just sick and tired of being sick and tired, we're tired of going through it, we're tired of the consequences that our own actions has caused us. Because the truth is, our situations, all of our situations, you know who put us in them? Us. We put ourselves in these situations that we've been in because of our choices. Now, I know for me personally, it's a whole lot more fun and easier for me to blame somebody else. If I could right now, I got a list of things that I would love to blame Marvin for. And you don't realize this, but I actually do. But the truth is, inside, I know it's not your fault. It's from the choices that I've decided to make. And the thing is, the Bible tells us that blessings and curses ought not come out of the same mouth. The Bible also tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And the beautiful thing about that, again, the greatest thing about the power of life and death is in the tongue, is that God gave us all a tongue and God gave us all a life. So what I mean by that is the reasons that blessings and curses ought not come out of the same mouth is because we can actually curse our own blessings. And the thing about that is, that's habit forming. That is habit forming. And it's also the devil. The devil is smart, y'all. The devil is very smart. Number one, the devil knows God's words better than we know it, because he was with God in heaven. Understand that the devil was with God in heaven. So he knows God's words, but he knows he made a choice to leave heaven. And God said, you will never return. And the devil knows that he is damned to hell, but it's in a matter of time. So what the devil wants to do is he wants to bring as many of us along for that ride with him. It's just like the old saying, misery loves company. Misery loves company. How many times have y'all done something that initially you wasn't going to do, but that person somehow talked you into it? Next thing you know, you was in the car. Next thing you know, you was in the store. Next thing you know, you had to, and it goes on. See, the devil knows that. So the best thing he could do is he attacks us. And a lot of people say, ooh, I'm going through it. Oh, the devil is attacking me. Oh, the devil is the devil. Not everything is the devil attacking. But I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's best way of attack is through our spirits. It's inside. It's not if your arm fall off or you got a bad headache or something goes wrong with you physically. The best way the devil can attack you is through your spirit. That's why the Bible tells us we have to be spiritually discerned. That's why if you go to any church, the pastor will tell you this is not a physical fight. The Bible says it's not physical, the physicality that we deal with, but the principalities, it's the spirit. We have to fight in the spirit. The reason why the devil attacks our spirits, because when he can attack our spirits, he gets us to attack ourselves. How many times have you went to get a job or just anything in life? And you've been shot down time after time after time after time. And the devil uses that to get to us. That's why we always say, man, I'm going to fill out this application. I know I ain't going to get it. I'm going to go in for this. I know they're not going to approve me. I don't know why. On the way in, I don't know why I'm going in here. I know they just going to say no. I don't know why, but this. We always put ourselves down. How many people have you just heard just say, just randomly, oh my God, I can't believe it. I did that. I'm going to hell. If people really understood how much power is in that tongue, my heart bleeds for those people who say that. And I know it's become such a common thing that we say it in joking. I can't believe I shouldn't have said that. I know I'm going to hell for that one. Then we laugh about it. But the truth is, that's where we're making our own beds. It doesn't matter how hard life has been. It doesn't matter what you have ever gone through. Do not speak death upon yourself, but speak life in your situation. Speak life about yourself. Man, I look good today. Man, I feel good today. How many people, no matter how much you ask them, how you doing? Oh, I don't feel it. I got a headache. I got this. I'm wrong. To the point it depresses you when you hear it. Yeah. Now you start saying, man, somebody asked you how good you doing. I got a headache. My stomach hurt. Man, you just start repeating that. But see, that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to attack yourself. He wants you to bring yourself down. That's why we have to speak good about yourself. This may not be I may be living in a shack, but I got a roof. Hey, it's good today. Even if I don't feel good, even if this is the worst day of my life, guess what? I'm above ground. It's a good day. You better start speaking positive about yourself, positive about your situations, positive about your loved ones. Because if you're waiting for somebody else to speak you up, if you're waiting for somebody else to say something good about you, if you're waiting somebody else to pick up your spirits, guess what? You are going to be waiting. Don't wait on the next person to talk some good in you, to bring sunshine in your life. Bring it into yourselves. Bring it into your own lives. Don't always say, and it's a good thing, don't get me wrong. You ever have people, oh, I need you to pray for me. Ooh, would you just pray for me? I need to go over here and get some prayer. Can you find so-and-so because I need some prayer? Can this person pray? Pray for yourself. That's why God gave us a tongue. That's why he said life and death is in the power of the tongue. You have the power and the ability to speak life into your own situations. But we have to know it. What good is it in having a nice, brand new, shiny car sitting out in the driveway and the keys is in it, but you never turn it and ignite it? It's pretty to look at, but if you don't ignite, turn the ignition and get it in gear, it's useless. Other than the nice conversation piece, people say, oh, see, you got a new car. It's nice. Yeah, but I don't know how to drive it, so it's just sitting there. But yeah, it's nice. I agree with you. We got to start speaking life into our situations and don't. Please do not down yourselves. Do not put yourselves down. It doesn't matter what you used to do. It doesn't matter who you used to be. It doesn't matter where you used to go. Everything that has starts with used to, none of that matters. I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. God has already forgiven you for that. There's nothing you have done. Nothing you have done that God has not already forgiven you for. The problem is we have to start forgiving ourselves. We have to start forgiving ourselves. But I get it. When life has been beating you down for so long, it's hard to get out of that defeated mentality. That's why we do that, because we feel so defeated. I know I'm not going to get this job. Why should I? Because I've never gotten one before. I've never gotten that good job before. I've never gotten in this good position before. So we say it before we even try to go through it. But I'm going to tell you this. In other words, in a way to speak life into your situation, number one, you have to know God. You have to understand the power of God. You have to understand that we serve a God that specializes in the impossible. You have to understand, even though the world teaches us, if you are delusional, you are crazy. But in God, there's no such thing as delusional. When you become in Christ, you have to be delusional. You have to say, you know what? I got 4 felonies. I don't have any life skills. I don't have any job skills. I don't have this. I don't have that. But what I do have is the power of God. Yes. And God can open doors. God will open doors that no man can close. Right. But we have to believe. We have to know that. We have to know it. We have to walk into a situation with confidence. Do you know how to do this? Absolutely not. Are you qualified for this? Of course not. Do you have a felony? 3 of them. So why are you here? Because I want this job and I feel I'm the best person for it. And I guarantee you it may not work every time in every situation, but God can open doors that nobody can close. So that word delusional, yeah, it applies in this world that we live in the physical and the flesh. But in the spiritual, we have to be delusional. We have to believe that God can make a way out of no way. We have to believe that we serve a God that did not bring us this far, that did not bring us through all of this treacherous terrain just to drop us off right here.
Amen.
Make sure I don't get off track, because I think I did. Now, the thing about the word delusion I just was speaking about, and this is something that I do, and it's very delusional. In fact, it scares me a little bit, because sometimes I think I'm going crazy. But I will physically and openly speak to a situation. I'll give you an example. A light bill comes, and they come every month, trust me. And sometimes we don't always have the money to pay them. But sometimes we have to look at that light bill. See, we let our situations get bigger than our God we serve. The God we serve is here. Our situation is here. But sometimes we get that backwards. We get into a situation, we get into a circumstance, and it becomes this, and God becomes this in our minds. Sometimes we have to speak to that situation. Now, when you become in God, I'm going to tell you a quick story real quick. In the book of Acts, this is after Pilate had ordered Jesus to be crucified. Jesus is on the cross, and real quick, the pictures that we see and on the necklaces and things like that, and Jesus is on the cross, that's not what it looked like. The Bible says that Jesus was beaten beyond recognition, that they didn't even realize that that was a human being up there. It just looked like a piece of meat. They poured salt on him. They cursed him. They spit on him. They disrespected him to the highest level. They put him up there with a sign, and this is your God of Israel. And Jesus rose on the third day. That's why the Bible says, when light shineth in the dark comprehended it not. When the Bible speaks of light and the dark, it's speaking of good and evil, God and devil. And when Jesus' light so shined, because Jesus is a beacon of light to the world, that darkness, evil could not understand it. The devil, everything that I've ever touched had to succumb to me. Death, everything that I've ever touched had to succumb to me. How did this man rise and rise without a scratch on him? That's the power of God, but that's something else. Where was I? Oh. So Jesus rose a few days later. He went to his apostles. He had an angel on either side of him, and he told them to go to the upper room. I need y'all to go to the upper room and wait. Then after he gave them instructions, he ascended into the clouds, into the heavens. That's why they say the second coming of Christ, because he's coming back. And when he gave them instructions, his disciples went eagerly, and they were happy, went to the upper room. And we gonna wait. And they were excited, because the King of Kings said he want us to wait right here. Jesus never said how long I need y'all to wait. And you got to understand, in the timeline, there was no air conditioner. There was no comfortable pews, but they waited and waited with joy and anticipation and a great expectation. And when you're dealing in God, always have a great expectation that God is going to do what he said he is going to do, that God is able to do all things. And as they waited, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they started dancing, running, shouting, to the point that when people looked at them, they said, "Ooh, they must be drunk off that new wine." The Bible said they must be drunk off that new wine, not the stuff that was out last year. I mean, that new stuff we don't even know is out yet. I got to get some of this. That's what they was thinking. Ooh, they tore up and partying. That's the power of God. And once you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says to receive the Holy Ghost, first you must repent, get baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus, and go on to live a holy life. Now, the thing with that change is, now you have ammunition to fight with. Have you ever noticed that once you say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm about to make a change. I'm finna put this down. I'm finna put that down. I'm finna let him go. I'm finna let her go. I'm finna let these places go. And as soon as you make that decree, all of a sudden your phone start ringing. All of a sudden, everything and everybody, you get attacked by a bunch of nouns. A bunch of nouns, persons, places, and things. All of a sudden, all the people you've been trying to get rid of seem to show up at once. All the places you've been trying to stay away from and couldn't get a ride nowhere, all of a sudden you got rides to them. All of a sudden, the things that always held you down, whether it be drugs, alcohol, men, women, whatever the case is, all of a sudden is boom, right here in your face. The moment you make that decree. Why? Because the devil does not want to see you succeed. The devil does not want to see you in God. The devil wants you with him in hell. That's why we need to be Holy Ghost filled. That's why we need the power of Christ. And the devil said one time, either him or his demons, he was saying, you know what? Abraham, I know. Peter, I know. David, I know. Jesus, I know. I don't know who you are, because the devil doesn't fear us. But once you get the power of the Holy Ghost, once you get the power of the Holy Spirit in your corner, there is nothing, nothing that is going to stop you. Now, that doesn't mean things are going to get easy. It is not going to be a tiptoe through the tulips. Why? Because the devil is going to launch an attack on you like you've never seen once you start to live in Christ, because he wants you to give up. Like, you know what? I'm done with this Christian thing. I'm done with this faith-based ministry thing. I'm going to just be back doing what I'm doing, and I'm done with it. That's what he wants you to say. He wants you to give up on God. But he attacks you spiritually, not in a physical fist fight, but all of a sudden he starts bringing all these people around. That's when, once you are in God and you have the power of the Holy Spirit, now you have something to fight with. Now you have power and authority to fight with. Amen. You have the authority, not authorities. Not, Mick, calm down. Not the authorities, but you have the authority of the Holy Spirit. That's when you become extremely delusional, and you can look at these things and say, you know what? You have got to back up off of me. Satan, you have got to back up off of me. In the name of Jesus, I will live, and in the name of Jesus, I will die. You have got to back up off of me. Look at those shackles. Look at those things, those places, those people, and tell them with your mouth, with your tongue, speak life into your situation and say, you have got to back up off of me in the name of Jesus. We're not going to be perfect. We are going to slip. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. It's not going to be smooth sailing. But I'm telling you, once you get crazy enough in the name of Jesus, once you get delusional enough to have the confidence and the courage, because a lot of times these are the things that we want to do. These are the things that we want to say. You ever get that move of God in you when you're walking down the street in the grocery store and you just want to stop right there in your tracks and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm alive. I could have been dead a long time ago, but you gave me another chance, another opportunity. I just want to thank you, Lord. And you just want to scream this out to the top of your lungs, but you don't, because there's people around. I don't want them to think I'm crazy. I don't want my boys to know that this is where I am in life. And, you know, it looks a little bit funny, and it could be a little bit off-putting to others. But see, that's exactly what happened in the upper room when they were shouting and those people accused them of being drunk on that new wine. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you are desperate for a change, desperate for a change in your situation, you have to get desperate times call for desperate measures. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who's laughing, who's pointing, who got their phone out making fun of me. I don't care. I am in a desperate situation. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. Lord, I have to get to you now by all means necessary, because if I don't, there might not be a next time. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. Get to God by any means necessary. Come hell or high water, Lord, I got to get to you and I need you now. When you got the power of the Holy Ghost behind you, you can look at those shackles, those strongholds. Strongholds, what I mean by that are those things that keep you bondage, like being in a prison cell in bondage. And most of the times, we're not in a prison cell. You know that prison that we're in is here. That prison is here. And we get locked up here. We get institutionalized here. We got to break that bondage. We got to break those chains. And that's where that authority comes in. That's where that courage comes in. Where you look at that situation, or even if it's a spiritual situation and you can't physically see it, but you stand there and you tell that bondage, you tell those chains, you got to get off of me in the name of Jesus. Let me go in the name of Jesus. And watch the power of God move. Watch God move on your behalf like he's never moved before. Watch God dispatch angels to watch over you, to watch over your situation, to watch over your circumstance. No, it's not going to be easy. And a lot of times, the more you get in God, the closer you get to God, the further people are going to walk away from you. You know what I learned? It used to be, if you want to clear a room and clear it real fast, you yell, fire, fire. Watch people get out and run the door, get up and run out the door. But if you want to clear a room faster than that, start talking about Jesus. Start talking about Jesus. You will get people out of your face faster than you could ever imagine. And the reason I say that is because the more you get in God, the closer you get to God, the more of a relationship you develop with God. To develop a relationship with somebody, you have to spend time. You have to spend time. And then when you get with somebody, it'd be like, 2 months later, I can't believe, I just didn't think that they would do that. Obviously, I didn't know them. Yeah, because you didn't spend time. Trust me, I got that story. Like, man, you changed. They didn't change. They always been like that. We just didn't spend time with them to find out. But the more time you spend with God, spending in his word, the more time you just, Lord, look, I don't really understand the Bible. Lord, I'm not a great reader. Lord, I just don't get it. I just ask that you lead and guide me, Lord. Download into my soul, into my spirit, what you need me to know, where you need me to go, where do you need me to be, who you need me to be around. The more you get in God, the further and further away your old friends, family members is going to be. And it's going to seem like you're alone. And that's what the devil wants you to think, that you're alone. Because a lot of times we do things, or we have done things, just for the camaraderie of being around other people. I don't really want to do this, but I know my boy, you know, he like it, so if him like me and for her like me, yeah, we can get down, we can do this, whatever, whatever. Don't let the devil think you are alone. Even if you're alone physically, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Bible said that King David said in the book of Psalms, he said, Lord, never leave me, never forsake me. Hide not your face from me. If you ever feel alone, or if you're ever in a situation where I'm not seeing God in this, I don't know what to do. Lord, just pray that prayer. The same prayer that King David wrote. Lord, never leave me. Never forsake me. Hide not that face from me. God, I need you to show up, show out, show yourself to be true. Show yourself that you will do and can do like you said in your word. and watch God move on your behalf. The moral to this whole thing is that word change. We all have the ability to change. They say that the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. They say that the definition of insanity is to keep banging your head up against the wall and expecting it not to hurt. And trust me, I've banged my head up against the wall every which way humanly possible. And the thing about no matter how many times I've tweaked the situation or that I've tweaked my, how many times that I've tweaked my technique of banging my head up against the wall, they all hurt. But see, now it was up to me to make that change. And I don't mean making a change where, all right, I'm going to tell mom I'm going to change. I'm going to tell my dad I'm going to change. All right, my auntie coming over, let me act right because she going just to show her, or let me lie to these folks so I can get a lighter sentence. Not that kind of change. I'm talking about a real change where you look down in yourself. And the thing about that change is it's not easy. The thing about that change is we can't even do it on our own. But God is there just like this, with open arms, just waiting for you to come to him. Lord, I need your help. The Bible says, if you take up my yoke, I will give you rest. Nick, I know you know about yoking, where you get two horses or donkeys or whatever, you clamp them together with those head things so they can pull at the same time in the same direction. That way all you got to do is sit back and ride. They'll plow the field for you. That's us and God. We have to become one with God. We have to be in one yoke and God in the other, and he will give us rest. He will give us a sound mind. But we have to change. The Bible says, once you become in Christ, you are a new creature. You're a new creation. In other words, when you are new, you are something different. The word change means to do something different. And is the concept is not hard. I keep going to jail. I keep falling victim to this or that. I need to be doing anything but that. But somehow, once I put my mind to do anything but that, all of a sudden that becomes the hardest thing in the world not to do. But when you have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, now you have the power and the authority to be delusional and talk to that situation. Talk to that thing, whatever that thing is, and say, in the name of Jesus, this is the day that you let me go. In the name of Jesus, this is the day where I bring it to the altar, and when I walk back, I don't turn around, come pick it up, and then take it back to my seat. This is the day that all of that foolishness and nonsense and all of that stuff that's cost me years of my life, this day that the Lord has created and I will rejoice and be glad in it, this is the day that those shackles, that bondage, that thing, whatever it is, in the name of Jesus has got to let me go. We have to say this with our mouths, with the authority that the Holy Spirit has given us, which is ultimate authority, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, there is nothing that can stop you. You just have to know it. You have to believe it. You have to have faith in it. You have to walk in it, talk in it, eat in it, sleep in it, everything in it. And when you feel yourself slipping back, when you see these people, these places, these things try to come back into you and bring you back into that abyss of whatever it is that you were in, that's when you say, God, in the name of Jesus, I need you now. For I am weak. And what does the Bible tells us? Where we are weak, he is what?
Strong.
He is what?
Strong.
He is what?
Strong.
He is strong in you. Change. 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 It's not easy, but the power of God is there, and he's just waiting for you to come to him. Make that change. That's my time. Thank you.
Thank you.